It may be the 4th of July, but that doesn't mean we take a holiday from giving you the news that you need this week. We've got the agenda for you with Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent, and Kelly Crossley, host of the Kelly Crossley Show at our partner station, WGBH in Boston. Todd, let me start with you. Do you have a word for the week?
Hey, good morning, Celeste. Optics. This week on Capitol Hill is all about appearances and optics as they try to reach a deal, but I'm saying optics.
Photo shoots. Okay, Kelly Crossley, word for you?
Consequences. It's what happens when people do not move in any direction.
the consequences of gridlock, which leads us right to unemployment, which they appear to be not moving. Unemployment figures are out this Friday for the month of June. The latest estimate was that there's 19 million unemployed Americans. Here's a comment made by the mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa. He spoke on Face the Nation yesterday.
I think everybody's going to be vulnerable if we don't get people back to work. I think we all have to be accountable, the president, the Congress, governors and mayors. I can tell you that here in the city, our number one priority is jobs, jobs, jobs. We've got to put people back to work.
So, Callie, these numbers that are coming out on Friday, we're not expecting a huge difference in them or a huge drop in any case. What do you think politicians could possibly do?
It's
heavy sigh.
No, it's really depressing, I have to say, because I had high hopes that we'd see some movement. But I think what they're going to have to do is get some movement on the companies that could hire but are not hiring. Because as long as that consumer confidence remains low, then nothing happens on our side. You know, we who are consumers hold on the spending, and because we just can't. We can't afford it, or we're worried about whether or not we're going to be able to afford it. And watching those unemployment claims and looking at the fact that they have not dropped significantly says that we don't have a lot of confidence that it's going to get better. So whatever can happen to make consumer confidence boost up even a little bit, I think would be helpful.
So possibly pushing those companies that are sitting on big cash reserves.
Absolutely.
To start hiring.
You know, and we've talked, I know you've talked a lot about banks holding onto money and not lending. I mean, all these things make a difference.
All right, well, let's see if we can maybe get a difference this week in the debt ceiling. Todd, let's talk about this, because they should, obviously, Villaraigosa says they should be focusing on jobs, but the thing that the president wants them to focus on is the debt ceiling. And this is something in which there's definitely a deadline for it. Does it look like they're making progress?
Well, of course, the president wants you to know that the debt ceiling is about jobs. See what he does there? Yes, they have to raise the debt ceiling, but since everything is about jobs these days, the president and the Republicans all say that this debate is about jobs. Well, you heard in the headlines there, Celeste, the Senate was supposed to be on vacation this week.
Yeah.
Harry Reid has called them back in, the entire Senate. Now, of course, this deal is being made among six or seven people in a room, but the whole Senate has to be there. That's optics, right? To make sure everybody's working hard. The other optics you're going to see this week is the president visiting Capitol Hill, or lots of senators going down to the White House. Probably the former, the president and or the vice president have been invited up onto the Hill on Wednesday and or Thursday to get in front of the cameras to talk to senators to see if there's a deal to be made. Now, the chances of a grand deal, something on the order of $2 trillion in cuts to go along with a $2 trillion increase in the debt limit, really seem to be dimming. The two sides are far apart. Republicans are not willing to talk about tax increases, or at least large tax increases, on this deal, and Democrats do not want to talk about Medicare benefits or Social Security retirement age. So, yes, you did hear Republicans yesterday saying maybe something a little smaller. That's called kicking the can. If they do that, a small deal to get somebody, a few months down the road, there are lots of people in the House who don't want to do that. So, yes, it's about optics this week, but we're also going to see if there can be any consensus on how to kick the can. And listen to Harry Reid here talking about why he called the Senate back in this week.
We know the most important issue facing the country today is reaching an agreement that cuts our deficit and grows our economy. We need to work out some arrangement quickly before the markets start to react and American families start to feel the consequences.
So, Callie, do you buy that? I mean, that appears that Harry Reid is also making that connection Todd was talking about between the debt ceiling and jobs. Do you buy that?
In the global sense, yes. But I was more taken with something that Todd said that made me a little bit depressed. Kicking the can, I actually thought the fact that McCain and Cornyn yesterday seemed to indicate that there was some movement, some ability to compromise, was hopeful, and that we were actually moving towards something. But now that Todd has crushed me, I guess not.
Todd, how could you? You crushed Callie Crossley.
I didn't mean to. The whole country feels a little crushed around this debt limit.
Talking about crushing, so let's talk about some of these state shutdowns going on, because it's happening in several different states. Cali, Minnesota is the latest one. They actually shut down their government because they failed to pass a budget. And people are close to that point in a number of states.
This is very real. And I think that we're going to see more of that coming up soon, and that's going to put some pressure maybe perhaps on the people who are sitting in Congress to realize that when it happens on the state level and people get angry enough, and in Minnesota they're plenty angry, even though I just heard you say that I guess the zoo was reopened, but there's a lot of stuff closed, including the state lottery. You can't even gamble. I mean, this is crazy.
Now that's painful.
And I'm sitting in Massachusetts where Governor Deval Patrick has said he's thinking about signing the budget. He hasn't said he's going to, and wondering, will we end up in a situation like that?
All right, well, last question for you, Todd. Let's talk about Libya real quick. Since the House is working this week instead of being on vacation, the defense spending bill is going to be on the floor. Are we going to see the House try to make another statement about Libya?
Yeah, well, they already tried once. You remember that muddle of votes a couple of weeks ago, the House refusing to back up President Obama on the Libya operation, but then refusing to defund. But here was the thing about that. A lot of people who voted against defunding that operation did it because they thought it was too weak. It was only a partial defund. It only defunded parts of the operation, left other parts in place, and some members were concerned that if they voted for that, they might actually be giving a tacit approval of what the president's doing. There may be another effort this week by Denis Kucinich. You've heard of him. A full defund. We'll see where the chips fall when that thing gets on the floor. How many members will vote for it? It's a big political risk for the White House and, frankly, for Republican leaders who don't want to see a full defund.
And maybe a photo op, I guess, in some ways, playing into your word of optics. That's Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. Callie Crossley, host of The Callie Crossley Show at our partner station, WGBH, in Boston. Happy 4th of July to both of you.
Happy 4th.
Same to you, Celeste. Yes.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.